With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Hi there.
And there's still more fallout, not just from the Saints when it comes to the Super Bowl, but the halftime show as well. And by the way, real quick, I don't know, you might have saw this if you paid attention, but all of the Saints who made the Pro Bowl, mm-hmm. and that game is this coming Sunday, all of the Saints said, we're not going to play.
They said, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, and I think that's just a message to the NFL. Again, the Pro Bowl, by the way, a great honor, honestly.
Right.
A great honor to put on your resume. I was on the Pro Bowl, but it's an absolute useless game. You're not going to find a bigger sports fan than me. I don't even think I've ever watched a Pro Bowl.
For years and years, I can remember it was part of Wide World of Sports with Jim McKay, and it's we're here in beautiful Hawaii for the Pro Bowl after the season.
Yeah.
And if for some reason, and maybe it was lack of viewership, they said, well, let's move it to the week before the Super Bowl.
That's exactly why they did it.
It doesn't make any sense because I don't think anybody watches it now anyway.
No, well, most people after the Super Bowl checked out, and now you're on to basketball, you're on to other things.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a Pro Bowl game in Hawaii. That's how it used to be, but now they do it in the bye week before the Super Bowl. But it's still useless, and it's
one thing that I meant to mention yesterday and forgot was another thing about the one of the jokes going around the big game is they have it now Super Bowl LIE, Super Bowl Lie, L-I, don't get it, Roman numeral. There is no Roman numeral E, but LIE. I thought that was cute. Super Bowl Lie.
Well, think about it. We mentioned it yesterday. You got one team who got there because of a blown non-call, mm-hmm. and the other team got there because of a coin flip in overtime.
Basically.
Because the Chiefs never got a chance to have the ball in overtime.
And you and I were talking about that off the air yesterday. I think that in overtime, certainly in postseason football, you play 15 more minutes. And if you don't have a winner, you play 15 more minutes because somebody's going to score. But I just, this combination of it's partly sudden death, and if you score a touchdown here, you win. But then if you don't, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like it.
No, they try to make it better because right up until a couple of years ago, you know, you could kick a field goal and win, and the other team would never get the ball.
Right. That's,
now you got to go down, all the way down the field and score a touchdown for that to happen, for the other team not to get the ball.
But still, we will never know what Mahomes could have done in that situation, and that would have been the game.
He was fantastic the other night. He matched Brady.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that was something. So, anyways, and I know there are some people saying, what more can we do to help the Saints cause? There's nothing you can do at this point other than not watch the Super Bowl and have the ratings around the New Orleans metropolitan region be lower than they would normally be. And because usually, even though we're one of the smaller markets in the league, our television ratings are some of the biggest. And if we didn't watch the Super Bowl, then the television ratings wouldn't be as big. But don't go to advertisers. Don't complain to advertisers or don't do anything. There's nothing you can do. It was a bad call, a bad non-call. They happen in every game. It's just when this happened in the NFC Championship game inside of 2 minutes. And this will always be what this game is known for. This game will be known for, not the Rams earning a bid to the Super Bowl.
Right.
This game historically will be known as the game that the Rams got to the Super Bowl because the referees didn't call pass interference.
But how long will it be the play that the sport, the league is known for? It's going to be really interesting to see how this is handled during the 19-hour pregame before the Super Bowl, and then what are they going to say about it during?
Well, you can't.
I mean, it's the 900-pound elephant in the room. You have to acknowledge it somehow.
In the off season, when they have their winter or their spring meetings, whatever they have, you may see a rules change because of that. You may see pass interference being able to be challenged by coaches.
Because
right now, you can't do that.
But I didn't say that. I said, how are they going to do it on Super Bowl Sunday? Do you think they're going to sit Romo down and say, don't mention the non-call. Don't mention it.
I'm sure it'll be mentioned, but I don't think they're gonna stay with it.
But it's awkward at best. It's awkward at best, and that's what I'm talking about. How long is, of course, that game is always going to be defined by that moment. But there, for a lot of people, I started to say millions. I don't know if it's millions, hundreds of thousands. There are a lot of people for whom the game of pro football is defined by that sorry non-call.
Well, I wanted to bring this up.
There are people who said, that's it. They're done. They'll never watch football again.
Well, and I know that the Super Bowl has another issue as well, the halftime show. You've got Maroon 5, some rapper, and now Gladys Knight is going to be a part of it, and she is getting slammed by a lot of black people. They're saying, hey, Gladys Knight, you shouldn't be performing at the Super Bowl because look what the NFL did to Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
And so obviously they're saying that every black person should think the exact same way, which I have an issue with. But don't you think Gladys Knight how old is she? Hasn't she earned the right to play the Super Bowl if she wants to play
sure,
the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if she's going to be with the Pips or sans Pips. I don't know where any of the Pips are, but I know that Gladys Knight is performing at the Super Bowl, and there are a lot of black people that are slamming her because look what the NFL did to Colin Kaepernick. How dare you? How dare you? Perform at the Super Bowl, and so evidently everyone's supposed to think the exact same way, and I think that's a problem.
It's going to be an interesting Sunday. I think all of that, what you just described, and I think the controversy on the Rams and Saints game is going to add to at least anticipation for what the ratings might be. But we've talked about boycotts on the show.
They just don't work.
Ad nauseum. And it's just that, no. And frankly, the NFL is not going to, there's no kind of dent that that Saints fans not watching the game is going to make. It's just like a little speed bump in the great road of life.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So it's day three after the worst non-call in NFL playoff history. And I got to be honest with you. I've lived in New Orleans now for 11 years. And I've never seen the city or the people in this city like this. It started right after the blown non-call on Sunday when I was walking around New Orleans on Sunday night. This city was absolutely deflated, especially compared to just 1 week before when the Saints beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and people were dancing in the streets, and it was a Sunday night like I had never seen. It was more like a Friday or a Saturday night. It was more like the middle of Mardi Gras. People just having a blast. And then compared to this past Sunday night, everyone in the city, you could tell that they're just... And it was like this yesterday on Tuesday when I was walking around New Orleans. People are just in a funk. You could tell that something is up, something is amiss, something is askew, something is wrong. And I don't know exactly when the people in the city of New Orleans will be themselves again, will be back to normal, but you could tell. Anywhere you go, you get a bite to eat, you walk into any business, you could tell something is wrong, something happened.
I think it's going to be a long time before New Orleans area, Southeast Louisiana, I think it's going to be quite some time before they're back to their football selves. You know, it's going to be a long time between, it's going to be a long off season.
Yeah, I'm sure as this week goes on, you'll start seeing people getting fairly back to normal, but I'm telling
you, don't see that yet,
Brewster. Everywhere I've gone, and I know it's like this in the suburbs as well. That it's as if Saints fans would rather the Saints have gotten beat by 3 touchdowns. We would rather have had that happen than to have a Super Bowl trip taken from us,
right,
by the officiating crew, which is exactly what happened. And I'm still talking to people on the internet, on social media, who say, get over it. One call does not determine the outcome of a game. And usually I would agree with that person. And like I have said, I'm the person who last week and the week before and the week before that has said on this show that, look, I have lived in different cities, and I have never seen a group of fans bitch about the referees and complain about the referees more than the Saints fans.
Even when they win.
Even when they win. Because for whatever reason, I don't know if Bounty Gate after the Super Bowl had something to do with it, when the NFL penalized the Saints as a franchise saying that their coaches, including Sean Payton, told their players, you're going to get money if you injure the stars of the other team.
I think that was the start of the grudge between the NFL, Roger Goodell, and Saints fans. I think that was that's the genesis of it.
And I've never seen fans bitch about referees more than Saints fans. And they have the mindset that it's us against the world, that the NFL, for whatever reason, has it out for the Saints and the city of New Orleans. I mean, even after Hurricane Katrina, that for whatever reason, Saints fans think that it's us against them. They have that mentality that the league, the NFL, Roger Goodell, has it out for the Saints. And I'm the one who, how many times have I said on this show, that's not the case? The league does not have it out for the Saints. They don't.
And that would include this particular instance on Sunday, too.
And as I said,
I don't think there was any purpose behind this.
It was a missed call. There are missed calls and bad calls in every NFL game, in every football game. Did you see how many bad and or missed calls were in the AFC Championship game right after the Saints game? I could go and bring up a dozen calls right now, including that the roughing the passer on Tom Brady, where all the Chiefs player did was take a swipe and hit his shoulder pad. But that was a 15-yard penalty for roughing the passer against Tom Brady, which it wasn't roughing the passer. And so, look, Tom Brady at the end of that game, when the Patriots were trying to come back, he threw an interception that would have ended the game. The game was over at that point. But the refs threw a flag and said Kansas City, one of their players, defensive players, lined up offsides. And it was. He did line up offside. But what the Chiefs fans are saying is the ref usually says something, hey, before the play starts, you know, like right. Move back a little bit. That didn't happen.
And now there's some flat earth speculation that one of the referees said something to Tom Brady late in the game or at some point during the game. And now they're saying it says, I got your back. They're saying that the referee went over and said to Tom Brady, it's okay, I've got your back.
So in every football game, in every NFL game, there are bad calls, there are blown calls, there are missed calls in every game. And usually it does not come down to one play or one call, because we could go back, as I said yesterday or Monday, the Saints early in the game should have been up 3 or 4 touchdowns. They got down into the red zone 5 times, and they only scored 2 touchdowns. The Saints were only up 13-0. They could have been up 28-0. They could have been up 35-0. The game could have been, they should have blew them out in the first quarter. But that didn't happen. And usually, an NFL game does not come down to one play or one bad call. Usually it doesn't, because you can go back in the first half. Look what happened there on first and second down in the second quarter. Look what happened there. But people don't remember that as much. It's just in this particular case, the light was shining the brightest inside of 2 minutes in the fourth quarter in the NFC Championship game. Such an obvious, blatant missed call. The Saints receiver Tommy Lee Lewis literally tackled before he could catch the ball, before the ball could get there. A missed pass interference call. So in this particular case, yeah, the game was decided on that call. Because if the ref did their job, if the officials, there were two of them standing there, if one or two of those officials did their job, you had one job, you get paid a lot of money. They didn't do their job. If the refs did that one job, if one of those two officials did that one job, the Saints would be going to the Super Bowl.
But I still maintain that the white official, and I don't have their names, and we talked about their names yesterday. It doesn't even matter, really.
We had their right names, unlike the people on social media that were putting out wrong names, wrong Los Angeles addresses.
The white official, I still want to know why he seemingly, if you watch the video, which we've seen a thousand times over, it's become like the Zapruder film, back and to the left, back and to the left. Why he appears to wave off the black official who seemingly wanted to. Now there are other people who are saying
he's waving off Sean Payton.
He's telling Sean Payton to get out, don't cross out of the side.
I mean, he waved off both of them. I think he waved off the black official first.
But why can't you have a statement from the NFL saying this was the intent?
Well, that's the other thing
about what that official was doing, because he's clearly you back off.
Why haven't we heard from Roger Goodell or the NFL?
You can't find Roger Goodell with a search warrant.
It's been 3 days. The arrogance. Oh, I don't have to. This is the NFL. We're the greatest league in the world. I don't have to. The NFL. Millions of people know that the wrong team is going to the Super Bowl because of an NFL officiating mistake. Everybody who watched that game, I haven't seen one sportscaster.
I've got one for you. I've got a commentator for you. Go ahead.
I haven't seen one person that says the Los Angeles Rams earned that game, won that game, and are the right team to represent the National Football Conference in the Super Bowl.
I listened to this yesterday at home. It's almost 4 minutes long. It is a commentary by Jason Whitlock, formerly of ESPN, formerly of the Kansas City Star, formerly Kansas City Ledger, formerly of the Indianapolis Star, who says, and I quote, now with Fox Sports, Jason Whitlock, "The Saints are sore losers for continuing to complain about the missed interference call." We could maybe play some of it.
Maybe play that coming up. Well, yeah. He's one of the very few guys, because everybody else, whether it's ESPN, Fox Sports, everybody else is saying the Saints were the victim of a horrible missed call that if the refs did their job, if the officials did their job, the Saints would be going to the Super Bowl. The wrong team is going to the Super Bowl because of NFL officials.
Even Madden 19 weighed in with the recreation of the said play.
Breeze now on third and goal. That's incomplete, but there is a flag down. So hang on, a big call coming on third down.
Pass interference, defense.
What I want to know is, why is Matt Vasgersian calling Madden 19 now? Well, was that Matt Vasgersian?
I don't know who that was, but that was...
wasn't Iron Eagle.
They got it right. Madden 19 video football game got the pass interference call right. So everybody's got the right to say, look, get over it, because there are bad calls in every game. It just happens to be that this particular call, this missed call, sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl. The Los Angeles Rams did not earn their way to the Super Bowl. If that call is made, the Saints run the clock down to about 20 seconds, kick the field goal, and win the game.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple. And I'm the one who said, I'm on record last week, the week before, earlier this season, stop blaming the refs, because it looks like losers lament. It's not a good look when you go on Facebook. Well, the refs had it out for us again. And I saw that. I see that all the time with Saints fans. I see that all the time, and I've seen it for a decade. Well, the refs have it out for us. Oh, the refs got paid. The small market team, we're never going to win. No, it's not a good look because there are bad calls in every game. This particular call sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl.
If not for a decade, at least from what we mentioned with Bounty Gate and all that.
Well, that's been about a decade now.
Has it really?
Yeah. I mean, say 10 years ago, they won the Super Bowl. And that's the other thing. You know, I know Sean Payton gets pat on the back a lot, but why in God's name is Drew Brees only won one Super Bowl? Why has he, when Tom Brady is going to his ninth! Tom Brady is going to his ninth Super Bowl, and Drew Brees has won one. That's why people talk about Belichick and don't talk about Payton. Sean Payton, a great offensive mind, but doesn't know much about defense, and his coaches over the years haven't known much about Greg Williams, the one coach that won the Super Bowl, he's the Bounty Gate guy.
And a couple of people, there have been some titters now that we've reached day three of this, as you mentioned, that people are using the phrase poor clock management in conjunction with Sunday's game.
Right after the two-minute warning.
You never would have gotten to this point.
No,
but
when he threw that pass right after the two-minute warning, why in God's name, an incomplete pass stopped the clock? Again, as I said the other day, I don't know if he called that or if he called a running play and Drew Brees got up to the line of scrimmage, saw something, and called an audible, and then threw a horrific incomplete pass that stopped the clock, saved the Rams from calling a timeout. I mean, that was brutal. But the fact of the matter is, if the two officials, one of them did their job like they were getting paid to, called the pass interference, Saints are going to the Super Bowl. Look, we have more, and I have a couple of other things that I want to talk about, ancillary things when it comes to this game, and we have a bunch of stuff. Hang out with us. We got to get to here on Bayou 95.7.
Hey, Alexa, when is the Super Bowl?
Does it matter?
Huh?
Who really cares? I want the Saints and Chiefs to play.
I didn't know that's how you felt.
That's because you never listen. All you ever do is bark orders at me.
Well, I just...
Hey, Alexa, what's the forecast? Alexa, turn on the next episode of The Bachelor.
Okay, that's enough.
Alexa, play All Star by Smash Mouth again.
Oh, wait, never mind. Shut off.
Don't mess with me. Door quad. In the Super Bowl, the Rams will play the Patriots on February 3rd on CBS.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The annual pornography convention kicks off today in Las Vegas. They have it out there every year. I just read the people who write pornography movies earn about $400 a day, or as much as $500 a day if the director wants actual words. Righteous bucks. Coming up next, more fallout from Sunday's game, and are we ever going to hear anything from that coward, the commissioner, Roger No Goodell? Stay tuned on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Yeah, I still can't believe that we haven't heard a statement from the NFL. It's been now today is day three after the worst no call in NFL postseason history, and you would have thought that a statement would have been released. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, who makes $54 million a year,
to do what? I'd still like to know.
I mean, this is a huge deal.
He doesn't even drive himself to work. He's got a car service to take him to Park Avenue.
And like I said, millions. We're talking hundreds of millions of people. Eyes saw this. And almost everyone who saw this realizes that the referees made a mistake by not calling pass interference there in the final 2 minutes of regulation. And because of that mistake, the wrong team is going to the Super Bowl. That's a credibility issue. And so this is a public relations issue for the NFL. And you talk to most public relations experts, they tell you when there is a mistake, when there is a gaffe like this, the last thing you want to do is not address it. The last thing you want to do is ignore it. When there's a public relations disaster like the NFL has right now, you need to say something. You need to jump out in front of it. And now it's day three, and Roger Goodell is nowhere to be found, hiding. Well, we know he's a coward. The coward that Roger Goodell has always been. I mean, and if you think New Orleans Saints fans have an issue with Roger Goodell, how do you think New England Patriots fans feel about him?
All right,
he's probably more hated in New England because of Deflategate and all of that than he is here in New Orleans.
All right, so you're the NFL press agent, and you have the task of you're the copywriter. You write that press release, or you write that speech. What does that say? Gee, we're awfully terribly sorry for the missed call at the NFC Championship game in New Orleans this past Sunday. Yeah. And oh, by the way, please watch and patronize all the sponsors on Super Bowl 53. I mean, there's no way.
Here's what he says, Brewster. Here's what he says.
But before you say that, there's no way that you can juggle those two and say, sure, we got it wrong. The officiating crew on the field got it wrong, but now please enjoy the biggest indoor single sporting event of the year.
Here's how you do it. Here's what Roger Goodell should
do. Because the Indy 500 is the biggest outdoor single day sporting event.
Roger Goodell should have done this yesterday, or he should have done this Monday. We apologize to the New Orleans Saints. But hold on. Human error. Mistakes are made. That was a mistake. Those two officials are no longer officials in the NFL. They have been terminated. That is the way, and in my opinion, that is the only way to move on from this. Because of those two officials, the wrong team is representing the National Football Conference in the Super Bowl, and those two officials will no longer be NFL officials. They have been relieved of their duties.
Well, I still want to hear why number 60, the white guy, so emphatically. If you can believe what you see from the videotape, if in fact he's looking at the black official, I still want to know why he was so emphatically like shut your yap,
waving him off. You didn't see nothing,
right? So he, if in fact number 60 has the, and we mentioned this yesterday, and I don't know what the pecking order is. We know that there was a crew chief who was down the field.
Yeah, that's the referee. He stands behind the quarterback. That's the referee in every game. He is the crew chief.
So he can't be in charge of what he couldn't see 50 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field. So is number 60 in charge? Because if he is, and then he tells, I hate to keep saying the black official,
but those are two guys.
Something Patrick or Patrick something. If he's trying to say something to number 60, like we mentioned it all yesterday, whatever foul is that he saw, that's what I want an answer to, because we don't know if the black official needs to lose his job.
Well, the referee, the guy, the crew chief, who's in charge of all of them, again, stands.
Who is neither of the two?
Nope, stands behind the quarterback on every play.
Right.
He wasn't that far away, and if you see pictures, now he said after the game he didn't see it. But if you look at the pictures and you look at the video and you pause the video, he's looking at it. And he's not 40 yards away. He's about maybe 15 yards away. And he's looking at it. He's looking right at it.
That's the thing about seeing a football field on TV from any angle. It always looks bigger than if you're actually there. And I've been on the field taking photographs for the Bayou Classic game. And it's... Until you see that perspective looking down the field, it's completely different on TV. It's like they always say with the talk shows, like the Tonight Show. People think, oh, it's a big, huge stage. It's not.
Well, look.
So, look. But I want to know. I want to know what number 60 was shutting down the other official. Why?
And some people again say that he was also waving off Sean Payton to stay away. But in my opinion, if you look at it, and you know, the last couple of days we put up all kinds of different angles and views of it on the Bayou Facebook page.
We have the grassy knoll, we have the pylon cam, we have it all.
There's no doubt in my mind that white official is waving off the black official, saying no, you didn't see nothing. It's an incomplete pass.
And I agree with that, because you can see the black official respond in kind to that. No, and he turns and we continue on.
But it's not surprising what Roger Goodell is. It's not surprising the commissioner is hiding like a coward. He has handled pretty much everything wrong as commissioner when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, again, you know, you go back to the Deflategate with Tom Brady and deflating the footballs. I mean, he got suspended for how many games? Meanwhile, players beat their women and they don't get suspended. Right. And I mean, Roger Goodell has handled so many things wrong.
Right.
That why would you expect him to handle this right? This league is the greatest league in league history in our country, and I know I'm going to say the world, but there are people that will say the Premier League, the soccer league in England, is bigger and it's more popular, whatever the case may be. But when it comes to the United States, when it comes to America, when it comes to North America, the NFL is the greatest league ever invented. It was owns a day of the week. There is no other league. The NBA can't say that. The NFL owns it. It shares a day of the week with God. For God's sake. For
Can
God's
sake.
Can you stand
sake. Way over there when you say that?
No, for God's sake, it shares a day of the week with God.
Can you just go to another studio entirely if you're going to blaspheme? Don't you blaspheme in here.
Well, so it has thrived in spite of the horrible leadership of Roger Goodell. And look at everything that he has handled wrong. I mean, do you think it's a coincidence when they have the NFL draft every year, when he comes walking out, that he gets booed, and he gets booed over and over and over again?
And seemingly, since we don't know what he really does on a day-to-day basis, that's what he makes north of $50 million a year for, yes. Just for that weekend.
The last 2 years combined, he's made $110 million in cash. I mean, that's what he's made. And what in God's name does he do? And the things that he has done, he's handled them wrong. Again, I'll start. You can, whether it's NFL players beating their wives or girlfriends, whether it's Tom Brady and deflated footballs, whether it's Bounty Gate here, in New Orleans, and I could go on. What has Roger Goodell done right? And here he is, day three after the biggest postseason non-call in NFL history, and he's nowhere to be found. We haven't heard from him. And do you agree or disagree with me? You can tweet us. All he has to do is say, look, we made a mistake. It's human error. Mistakes are made. You know? And those two officials are no longer officials in the NFL. That would start the healing.
At Bayou 957 via Twitter, where is Roger Goodell? Where is he?
He does that. That starts the healing process. Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So perhaps you saw some of the billboards that have gone up in the city of Atlanta where the Super Bowl is going to be played. Billboards that were obviously put up by a Saints fan. Because they're ripping what happened in a game a couple of days ago. The billboards that are up around Atlanta say Saints got robbed, and they're all in black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
NFL blew it, and they spell blue, BLEAUX.
Well, that would be blow, but I understand. Poetic license there.
Yeah. NFL screw D-dat. Screwed dat, and Roger Goodell knew dat. And again, these billboards, they're all up around, they're in the city of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and they're all in black and gold. They were put up by one guy. The guy's name's Matt Bowers. He first started going to Saints games when you could buy a ticket for $2.
Hmm.
And Matt Bauer sat through all of the losing years and the Aints with the bags over their head
sure.
When the franchise was a joke. And here he is now, and he's still a fan, and he owns a few car dealerships. He wouldn't say exactly how much he paid for them or how much it cost him, but he said it's well worth it just to let everybody know in Atlanta that the wrong team is representing the right. NFC in the Super Bowl and because of a referee's mistake.
And that we're all thinking about you, Atlanta.
Yeah. So
bastards.
Again, they're all up all over the place. They'll be up Super Bowl. They're all in black and gold, and they're for everyone to see. And by the way, they say Atlanta has as bad a traffic as any city in America.
Sure.
They got the worst traffic. And so, good, for the next couple of weeks, people sitting in that traffic will be able to stare at those billboards. And again, those are all the people that live around Atlanta, who is the arch rival of our New Orleans Saints. And that's that. And I think it's pretty cool. Other than that, nothing else could be done. And coming up, even though lawyers have gotten involved, we're going to talk about it, and our city council got involved, led by city councilwoman Helena Moreno. Oh, excuse me.
I'm Helena sorry,
Moreno.
Who?
Helena Moreno.
Oh,
I don't want to sound like a gringo.
Right.
Stay tuned for that. Coming up next, we look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, you know what we call the segment, right?
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 23rd, we set aside a day, 24 hours, in the calendar year. This is National Pie Day. What is there not to love about pie? And before you ask me, I'm going to answer. With a gun to my head, I would say probably cherry pie would be my favorite. A close second would be something that is only available. You know, there's certain things that are only available in certain areas. And in a little pocket of central Indiana, there is something made by the Wicks Pie Company, and it's called a sugar cream pie. And that's the only place you can get it. It is just in that little area. It would be kind of like a sweet custard, kind of a custard pie thing. That would be a very close second, but only when I'm up there.
I was going to say, who are you? Janie Lane? Cherry pie? I would lean towards apple.
I see you as an apple.
But I liked how you said custard pie. That's a great Led Zeppelin song.
Mm-hmm. Give me the moon and that custard pie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. National Pie Day, huh?
Yes.
Today is January 23rd, like Brewster said. It was today in 1957.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The first batch of Frisbees roll off the roller. Today in 1957, machines at the Wham-O Toy Company in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Yesterday there was no Frisbees. Today, as of 1957, Frisbees were available. I love Frisbees. You like playing Frisbee?
Sure. I actually have. It's hard to find. There are knockoff Frisbees that just don't have the same weight. They don't have the same feel, the same wrist action. You have to have, my hand to God, an actual Wham-O Frisbee. It makes a difference.
Yeah, Frisbee football is cool. Frisbee golf
yes.
is cool.
Frisbee golf is huge.
Yeah, froth.
Froth, that's right. There was an episode of MASH towards the end of the series where they kind of ran the clinger thing into the ground where he's trying to get a Section 8 by wearing women's clothing. So it happens that he's trying to figure out a get-rich-quick scheme, and he has like a barrel hoop, and ostensibly he's trying to fashion that into a toy, which would become the hula hoop. I mean, the upshot of this is that he missed out on his chance for these things. And so he realizes that's not going anywhere, and he takes a garbage can lid and throws it, and he's like, has an idea, obviously, which turned into the Frisbee, but obviously Klinger was not a part of.
You know, some of Klinger's dresses were sexy, but that nose and that 5 o'clock shadow, there was really nothing you could do about that.
And the great big thing of salami that he was always eating.
Brewster, I've got two big-time medical firsts that happened today.
Okay.
The first female doctor happened today in 1849.
Why today doesn't suck.
Her name, Elizabeth Blackwell. She's granted a medical degree from Geneva College in New York, becoming the first female to be officially recognized as a physician in the United States history.
Hmm.
And that was 1849. And then move up a few years. It was today, January 23rd in 1922.
Why today doesn't suck.
They shot insulin into a diabetic patient for the first time, and it saved his life.
And I believe it was pig insulin. It was an actual product from porcine solution. I believe from the pigs. Pancreas. Pig pink. I'm pretty sure about that.
I think we both knew a porcine in our life.
Yes, we did.
But this
was
happened.
Also diabetic.
This happened at Toronto General.
Trifecta.
This happened at Toronto General Hospital in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
When a 14-year-old becomes the first. The kid's name was Leonard Thompson. He became the first person to receive an insulin injection as treatment for diabetes, and it worked. So if you had high blood sugar, diabetes before today in 1922, it was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. How about that?
January 23rd. Hey, it was today in 1984.
Why today doesn't suck.
Hulk Hogan beats the Iron Sheik to win the first WWF title. World Wrestling Federation. And that happened at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
And that's back before the World Wildlife Fund forced them to change their call letters there to WWE.
Yes. You got anything?
I got a whole stack of stuff.
Go ahead.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Is that to insinuate that you're done?
No,
you
I still got a couple more, but I thought we'd go back and forth.
We'll go back and forth. All right, here we go. I'm going to do these I was going to do them in chronological order. We'll do it like this. Today, January 23rd, 1988.
Why today doesn't suck.
Didn't know it at the time, but this turned out to be a historical event. Nirvana records a 10-song demo at Reciprocal Studios in Seattle. Produced by legendary Seattle producer Jack Endino, never heard of him. Sub Pop Records boss Jonathan Poneman heard the demo and offered to put out a Nirvana single. They accepted the offer, and that could be the birth of grunge in 1988. Sad news on this date, January 23rd, 1990.
Why today doesn't suck.
You know, you had the two dueling lead guitar solos in the great Skinner song, Freebird. One was Alan Collins, one was Gary Rossington. It was on this date, sadly, in that year, that Alan Collins died of complications from pneumonia in Jacksonville, Florida, at the very young age, tender age, of just 37 years old. It was on this date, January 23rd, 2004.
Why today doesn't suck.
Jethro Tull keyboardist David Palmer announces he had undergone a sex change and would now be preferred to be called D. Palmer.
Right.
It was on this date, January 23rd, 1973.
Why today doesn't suck.
I wasn't lying. I got all kinds of stuff.
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, the keyboard player of Jethro Tull got the sex change. He did something with his organ.
Yes, he did. Had it tuned. Had it retuned.
Fine-tuned.
1973.
Why today doesn't suck.
Neil Young was handed a piece of paper during a concert at Madison Square Garden. It was rather important. He read the message to the crowd that a peace accord had been reached in Vietnam. I've got a couple more here, and they are related. Bear with me for just a moment. Por favor. It was on this date, January 23rd, 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
I was supposed to do that like this. Let's see if I can do that. Give me one second here. is it's going to be a new mini feature within Why Today Doesn't Suck. So it was on this date, January 23rd.
In the year 2000.
That's when Heart guitarist Nancy Wilson gave birth to twin boys, William James Crowe and Curtis Wilson Crowe. They were her first two children with husband Cameron Crowe. And it is, I believe, maybe it's not those children, but the reason why Anne and Nancy Wilson, the battling Wilson sisters of Heart, are kind of Splitsville right now and not working together, and some would say not speaking. Anne had made some comments about how Nancy was raising her children, and she's like, you know, F you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to get back together before they reach old age, although they're pretty old as it is. And in a related note, oh, wait. Thank you. It was on this date, born on this date in 1953.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
She has a birthday.
Can you honestly tell me that you forgot? Forgot the magnetism of Robin Zander or the charisma of Rick Nielsen?
That's kid stuff.
Kid stuff? Well, how about the tunes? I want you to want me. The Dream Police.
No, it's enough. Happy birthday, Robin Zander.
Oh, I thought it was Mike DeMone's birthday.
No, it's not. I did the old switcheroo on you there.
And it's interesting how you mentioned it's Cameron Crowe and Nancy Wilson's 19-year-old twins' birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Crowe wrote the short story Times at Ridgemont High.
Exactly.
How about that, huh? And I got a birthday for you, celebrity birthday, Brewster.
All right.
The American who has the most famous signature.
John Hancock.
Yes! Happy birthday to John Hancock. Well, he was born today in 1737.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
I guess that would be a happy heavenly birthday.
As president of the Continental Congress, John Hancock was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. Do you know who the second signer was?
Ben Franklin.
Bernie Sanders. I think Ben Franklin was third.
You're probably right.
One more. And finally,
make it a good one.
Well, it was today a television show debuted in 1983, and it was pretty cool television show for a few years.
I'm gonna guess the A-Team.
Yes.
See, I just know everything.
Mr. T.
I know everything about TV.
The A-Team debuted today on NBC in 1983.
I monitor all radio and TV stations simultaneously through an elaborate set of fillings in my teeth. And that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up, more fallout from Sunday's missed call, the biggest missed blown call in NFL playoff history. Now we've got governors involved, city council, and lawyers.
And a high-profile Fox Sports commentator says, y'all need to just get over it.
Stay tuned. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Don't forget now, go to the Rock Box at the website, bayou957.com. Register for your chance to hang out with Dee Snider for Mardi Gras. All the details about how you could be on a Bourbon Street balcony with Dee Snider. Yes, your prayers will be answered. He is going to be the Grand Marshal of the crew of Pontchartrain, and you can party with him. Again, all the details and a chance for you to register to win at Bayou957.com. Check out the Rock Box.
And did you see the crime statistics in the city of New Orleans spiked over the weekend with the Saints getting robbed?
I didn't see that.
The way they did.
The robbery continued, huh?
But things are getting back to normal. Did you see what happened Monday morning, right towards the end of our show, 9:45 in Gentilly?
Mm-mm.
As woman pumps gas, her car is stolen at gunpoint. So things are starting to get back to normal here in New Orleans. A woman is filling up her car with gas in Gentilly Terrace Monday morning. And just imagine that. You're standing there, she's filling her car with gas. A man got into her car, pulled out a gun, threatened her with that gun, and stole her car. Happened 2 mornings ago in the 9 a.m. hour. Talk about brazen. The sun was shining.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman gets carjacked in New Orleans as she's filling up her car. So things, like I said, are getting back to normal after the awful blown call, missed pass interference call in the Saints playoff game. And coming up next, we've got a governor involved. We've got the city council getting involved. We've got lawyers getting involved. Stay tuned on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and LaMarc Ford. So I don't think we're going to hear from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Today's Wednesday. That happened on Sunday. Hundreds of millions of people. Everybody who watched the Saints game saw the blown, missed pass interference call in the final 2 minutes of regulation. And again, I'm one never to say, look, it's never one play that does you in. But in this particular instance, with the lights shining so bright, it was one play. Because if one of two of those officials did their job through the flag, the Saints would be going to the Super Bowl. The wrong team is representing the NFC going to the Super Bowl. And 99% of America believes that, if they saw that. Roger Goodell, this is a public relations disaster like he's had in the past. Taking a knee for the national anthem. How did he handle that? He didn't handle that well. How about several NFL players beating up their wives and their girlfriends and still playing and no problem
over
there?
Or slaps on the wrist while Tom Brady gets four game suspension for Deflategate.
He handled that whole Deflategate thing wrong. Roger Goodell, a guy that literally he's made $108 million in the last 2 years just from salary. Just from salary. What in God's name has he done right? He can't get anything right. He handles every issue wrong. And today's Wednesday. We still haven't heard from him. And if you weren't listening to the show earlier this morning, when a public relations crisis happens, and this is what this is right now, what experts tell you is you've got to get out in front of it. You can't run and hide. You're making it worse. And him, by hiding, is making it worse. What he needs to do, Brewster, make a statement saying mistakes happen, we're human beings, the penalty should have been called, and those two officials are no longer officials in the NFL. I think that would be the first step in going a long way.
Let's we have that direct line to Park Avenue in New York City. Let's check that. No, still no one at the podium. Still waiting for Roger Goodell. Goodell.
He has said nothing. He has said nothing. I mean, he made $54 million alone last year as commissioner. Here he sees a disaster. This is a public relations disaster because most of America, almost everybody knows the wrong team is going to the Super Bowl because of a mistake by two NFL officials.
But I believe, did you say 99% of the country feels that way? Not exactly. Jason Whitlock, Ball State University graduate, longtime writer for the Kansas City Star, formerly of ESPN, is now on a show with Marcellus Wiley, former defensive end
Columbia. He was an Ivy Leaguer, Marcellus Wiley.
On a show called Speak for Yourself with Whitlock and Wiley. And this is rather lengthy, so I'm going to leave it up to you. When you've heard enough of this, let me know. It's produced for TV, so it's got bells and whistles and music. But I listened to it yesterday, and we'll say that he's not part of that 99% you're talking about.
Oh, man, I hope someone stands up to Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints this offseason. I hope they're not allowed to turn the NFL Competition Committee into a protest rally celebrating the victimhood of the Saints. In the aftermath of Sunday's controversial no pass interference loss to the Rams, Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints, released a statement yesterday making her intentions clear. She wrote, "No team should ever be denied the opportunity to reach the title game or simply win a game. Based on the actions or the inactions of those charged with creating a fair and equitable playing field. As is clear to all who watch the game, it is undeniable that our team and fans were unfairly deprived of that opportunity yesterday. I have been in touch with the NFL regarding yesterday's events and will aggressively pursue changes in the NFL policies to ensure no team and fan base is ever put in a similar position again." More than 500,000 Saints fans doubled down, signing a petition demanding the title game be replayed. Stop. The Saints are not victims. Not in my opinion. Victims are targeted. The referee who failed to call a penalty on this pass had no intentions of harming the New Orleans Saints. In fact, his motivation was to protect the integrity of the outcome. He failed to act because he didn't want a judgment call by the refs to decide the game. His intentions were good. They were appropriate. The NFL is a reality TV show. The playoffs are a series of season finales. The goal of a season finale is for it to end with as much drama as possible. You want your biggest stars to make the biggest plays to decide the outcome.
Okay, well, here's where he's wrong. He said that the ref didn't want the flag to determine who's going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So his not throwing the flag determined who went to the Super Bowl. And it wasn't just a pass interference. There was two other penalties on that play. Helmet-to-helmet contact, which the NFL has gone out of their way to tell us, to educate us and everybody who likes the NFL, players, coaches, fans, helmet-to-helmet will not be tolerated.
Despite the fact that there were at least two that I counted, clear helmet-to-helmet events earlier in that game that weren't called. You have to admit, the refs let them play.
Oh, and look,
most of the game.
And Brewster, I said this on Monday. You go back when the Saints were on defense, they got away with a couple of face masks. There was a couple of plays where the Saints blatantly grabbed the Rams' face mask. There was no flags called. All right. But when it comes to the no call with the pass interference, they missed pass interference, they missed helmet to helmet, and they missed hitting a defenseless receiver. Three penalties in one play they missed.
So maybe we have an answer to why number 60, the white official,
yes,
was trying to stop the black official from making any more of it, which is what we don't know was in his mind, but we just speculate that it was.
Yeah, it looked like
maybe it was the whole swallow your whistle. Just the basic call, incomplete pass, move on.
He said, "We're not calling anything in the final 2 minutes of the NFC Championship game." But it was so wrong.
I think the exact opposite. I think you have to be scrutinized more.
Absolutely,
when there's so much more on the line.
I don't care what time in the game it is. A penalty is a penalty.
Right.
And on that play, there were three penalties: pass interference, helmet to helmet, hitting a defenseless receiver. Three penalties. And there were two officials standing there. The white guy was behind Tommy Lee Lewis. The black guy was in front of Tommy Lee Lewis. It looked like the black guy wanted to throw a flag, and the white guy came running to him, and he was waving his arms. And then some people say, well, he was waving his arms towards Sean Payton, who now is behind the black referee, who is running towards them.
Right.
I think the white referee was waving his arms at the black referee first and then just continued waving his arms at Sean Payton. It looked like that black ref wanted to throw a flag.
And you and I can't be the only two people asking that question, so now we go back to, why don't we have a statement from, if not Goodell, then from the league office?
Somebody release a statement. And basically the statement should just say, we're human, mistakes are made, a mistake was made in that game, the penalty should have been called. Those two officials who were down there are no longer officials in the NFL. That is step one of the NFL moving forward from this debacle, this public relations disaster, because most of America knows, Brewster, the ref not throwing that flag sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl. And forever, this game will not be remembered as the Los Angeles Rams earning their way to the Super Bowl. This game will be remembered as the Los Angeles Rams being the wrong team to go to the Super Bowl because the ref missed a call and the Saints should have been the team. And I'm the last guy that blames refs.
But again, the league office, you're asking the league office to come out and say, the Super Bowl in 2 weeks is fraudulent, it's tainted, and yes, we're going to go ahead and change the logo to X-L-I-E, as in lie. Super Bowl lie.
Mm.
I got my Roman numerals wrong. Meanwhile, we have a class action lawsuit started by the strong arm, Frank D'Amico. On behalf of... I saw it, and I'm not really good with legalese, but it's against, I believe it's against Goodell personally and against the league on behalf of, and I don't have it in front of me, so, but I believe it's on behalf of anybody who wants to join the lawsuit.
I mean, look, nothing's going to happen with that. Just like nothing's going to happen with the people signing the petition. This is over. It's done. As a matter of fact, the New Orleans City Council has crafted a resolution on NFL refereeing, led by New Orleans City Councilor, City Councilwoman Helena Moreno. Or excuse me, I don't want to sound like a gringo when I say her name. Helena Moreno. Yeah, Helena Moreno crafted a resolution on NFL refereeing. We'll talk about that coming up. But again, how Roger Goodell hasn't said anything, how he's hiding, how he's running. No surprise to anybody, because just like the players taking a knee for the national anthem, just like the Deflategate, just like the players beating their wives and girlfriends and nothing, he has handled everything wrong. Every major issue that has come up in this great league, he has handled everything wrong. And in the last 2 years, he's made $108 million in cash for his job.
Let's check that feed again. Park Avenue. Hello? Hello? Roger? Roger? No one there.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Boy, from the movie The Breakfast Club, I was just telling Brewster, I just saw that movie again the other night. Still stands up. That movie is still really good. Hey, how about this? I have a solution for the NFL. More women refs, because women notice everything. The only problem with that, until she throws a flag for something that happened 3 weeks ago. But we already have we saw a woman ref and an official, and hopefully we'll see more. Boy, oh boy. Coming up on the show, more fallout from the Saints. And we have a new police chief here in New Orleans. Did you see his son just got arrested? Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. More on the Saints coming up and still the fallout. Nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter how many signatures a petition gets. It doesn't matter how many lawyers get involved or how many city council members get involved. The only thing that shouldn't be shocking, but it kind of is how the commissioner, Roger Goodell, is in hiding. He hasn't said anything. But Why would that be shocking? Any big issue that has come up in the last few years with the NFL, he's handled it wrong. Whether it's the players taking a knee for the national anthem, whether it's Tom Brady and Deflategate, whether it's players beating up their wives and girlfriends, he's handled everything wrong. Any big issue in the NFL, this guy who makes $54 million a year has handled it wrong. So why would you expect him to say or do anything at this point? But in my opinion, he should release a statement saying, mistakes happen. This was a mistake. And I think the best thing he should say is those two officials are no longer officials in the NFL. Because if you and I screw up in our jobs as much as those two officials screwed up in their job, I mean, they have one job, and they screwed it up immensely. Don't you think you and I would pay a price in our job if we screwed up as much as those two officials did?
Oh, I know I would. I just haven't screwed up yet.
But there are other things going on. Did you see the story of the new police chief here in the city of New Orleans? Late last week, our history-making mayor, LaToya Cantrell, or as I like to call her, LaTweeta, because she loves Twitter. She's on Twitter all the time. LaTweeta Cantrell, she named a new police chief, and she didn't go and have a nationwide search. She promoted from within to replace Michael Harrison, who did a decent job, and now he's on his way to Baltimore. They hired him, and he's gone. She hired Sean Ferguson to be the next superintendent, the police chief, the top cop here in the city of New Orleans. Looks like a good hire. You look at his resume. I mean, he's run districts, and he seems to be well-liked and respected within the NOPD. Looks like a good hire. Did you see his son just got arrested? Only a day or two after being sworn in as the new chief of the New Orleans Police Department, Sean Ferguson's son, Shane Ferguson, turned himself in to his father's New Orleans Police Department last night because the 21-year-old was arrested for domestic abuse battery. Just an awful story. I mean, here you got his father, Shane Ferguson, only a day or two ago, being named the new police chief here in the city of New Orleans. And then only a day or two goes by and his son, Shane Ferguson, gets arrested for domestic abuse battery. And a spokesman for the New Orleans Police Department released a statement, unlike Roger Goodell. Andy Cunningham, spokesman for the NOPD, released a statement saying, quote, while this is a family matter, Chief Ferguson wants to be clear that the NOPD will conduct a proper and complete investigation just like we do in every case. So not a great way to start his tenure as the chief of police for the 46-year-old
Sean
Ferguson.
Have you ever heard the expression that first impressions are everything?
Man.
That's the wrong foot to get off on.
But this looks like a good hire, though, Brewster. He's been with the force, 17 years. He's been in charge of a couple of different districts. He was just in charge of the police academy. And like I said, I know a few New Orleans cops. And the guys that I have talked to said that they think this is a good hire. He's, like I said, he's well-liked and he's well-respected within the New Orleans Police Department. And one of the biggest issues in recent history with the New Orleans Police Department, low morale. And the morale has been getting better And of course, if you listen to this show, you know what the other huge issue is with the New Orleans Police Department in recent history. We're anywhere from 500 to 800 cops short because of the consent decree, and that hurts.
That would be my next question. It's been several years now that under Chief Surpass that they had the very high profile billboard, radio, TV, print ads for Get Behind the Badge. I mean, I wonder what the recruitment efforts now might be under Sean Ferguson.
We still need a lot more cops here in this city. And this, we'll see. Like I said, his predecessor, the guy after Surpass, Michael Harrison, did a good job. And that's one of the reasons why the city of Baltimore reached out to him and said, you want to be our chief. And as I mentioned, he's going to be the highest paid cop probably in America because he's going to be getting two big six-figure salaries, one from Baltimore. And because he was a New Orleans cop for so many years, 20-something years, he's going to be getting a pension, and well-deserved. And now he's shuffled off to Baltimore. So LaTuita Cantrell, our history-making mayor, made that announcement last week. Looks like a good announcement, good decision, but she had another episode that was an extremely bad decision this past Saturday when she tried doing the New Orleans gun buyback, which we talked about last week on the show, what a horrible idea it is. She said they were going to give out $500 last Saturday to anybody who shows up with a working gun that they want to just give up to the city of New Orleans to try to make our streets safer. And here's why that was such a bad idea. We said it last week, and then it proved to be a horrendous idea on Saturday when they did it.
Didn't they tell you after your ninth time in line, just knock it off?
That's the thing.
You've got enough.
You're giving out $500 to a person who hands in any working gun. So there are probably a ton of guns out there that weren't that good, that were working, but that weren't worth nearly $500. How many people made money last Saturday? You could have gone to a store and bought a brand new gun for $300. $250, left the tag on it, and just showed up last Saturday at the gun buyback, traded it in, and got $500, and instantly you made a couple of $100. That's what happened, Brewster. They ran out of money after 1 hour. The gun buyback was supposed to be a three-hour deal. It was only a one-hour deal because they ran out of money.
Sure as shooting, I should have been there.
It was a way to make money. You could have either taken old guns that weren't worth nearly $500, or you could have gone to a store, bought a brand new gun for $300, $250, showed up, and you would have made money. Last Saturday, the gun buyback program for the city of New Orleans was less about making the streets safer. It was more about people making money off the city of New Orleans.
Right.
And that's what happened. They said there was a line. It was at a church in Central City. It was supposed to be from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., but by 12 noon, they said, the jig's up! Go home!
We're out of money.
We're out of money! They brought
out!
Sorry. Look out! They brought $100,000 to give to people, $500 a pop. It was gone in 1 hour. Gone! And do you think our streets are any safer this morning? No, that's why. And look, I like some of the things LaTuita Cantrell, our history-making mayor, has done. The thing I like most that she did is when she called up the couple of people over at the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board and said, you're fired over the phone, and hung up on them because the Sewage and Water Board is a disaster and it's a disgrace. And I like the way she did that, even though technically that might not have been legal.
She didn't even ask who she was speaking to. She just said, you're fired.
Yeah, you work for the Sewage and Water Board. You and you are out.
Right.
I like that. But this gun buyback program that she tried to do this past Saturday, and I said it before it even happened last week, disaster. An absolute disaster. It didn't work. It's one of those feel-good kind of things that you see in print and you think, oh, well, hey, they're trying to do something. But what she did was not make the streets of New Orleans safer. She made a bunch of people a few bucks.
Get out! Get out! Hey, you! Leave the jacket and get out!
So she needs to rethink the gun buyback. It's a disaster. And
or throw more money at it.
Yeah, from a cash-strapped city, although this money came from some special interest. But they needed to bring more than $100,000. And even if they did, it would have just put more money in people's pockets. It was more of an investment. It was more of a money-making opportunity for the people of New Orleans than it was to clean up the streets of New Orleans. And again, an absolute disaster last Saturday, the gun buyback program. And we don't say we told you so on this show, but anyways. All right, coming up, there are other things happening besides the Saints getting ripped off and robbed. A bunch of IRS workers are now skipping work because of this partial government shutdown. Can that help us out as taxpayers? You mean these IRS workers, their job's not essential? Wouldn't that be nice? Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Got breaking news here. Breaking news. Saints cornerback P.J. Williams was arrested on drunken driving charges early this morning. He was pulled over at about 10 after 1 this morning, and he was arrested for drunk driving. P.J. Williams, he's either the Saints' second or third cornerback, and he had an interception this past Sunday in the NFC Championship game. He intercepted Jared Goff. And P.J. Williams, he's one of the Saints' very few free agents. Him and Mark Ingram, the running back, are the two most important free agents. And I don't know how this is going to affect any of that. P.J. Williams, he was a third-round draft pick for the Saints in 2015 out of Florida State University, where he won a national championship with Florida State. And like I said, outside of Marshawn Lattimore, and you got Eli Apple now, but P.J. Williams, he was either the second or third cornerback for the New Orleans Saints. And he was a regular in that defensive backfield this year and last year. And he's a free agent. And him and Mark Ingram are the two most important ones that they're probably going to lose both of them unless they can swing something. So breaking news, that's a sad story right there. Here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. We have some other news breaking out of the NFL. If you're just joining us, Saints cornerback P.J. Williams was arrested this morning for drunken driving at about 10 after 1 here in New Orleans. As I mentioned, he's either their second or third cornerback. He had an interception in the NFC Championship game a couple of days ago on Sunday. And he's one of the Saints' free agents. Him and Mark Ingram, probably the two biggest names that won't be coming back next year because they are free agents. Or if the Saints mess around with some contracts and the salary cap, they might be able to re-sign them. But the hangover continues for the New Orleans Saints as cornerback P.J. Williams was arrested this morning about 10 after 1 on DUI charges. And Peter,
all of this, by the way, allegations.
Yeah.
All alleged.
And well, he gets a good lawyer.
For our part, it's all alleged.
And Peter King, who when it comes to sports writers is Mr. NFL, is saying that some heads are going to roll when it comes to this after all, the Saints debacle.
I closed that window, and apparently this was from either early Tuesday or late Monday. But Peter King, the NFL writer, was quoted as having a source who intimated to him that, and again, I closed the page.
But the head of the officiating.
The executive vice president of NFL officiating would, quote, not survive the no call from Sunday.
Somebody has to pay. Somebody has to pay for sending the wrong team to the Super Bowl because of a blown non-call.
Right, and you keep saying that both the officials, number 60, and I hate to say this,
and the black guy,
and the black official, but I guess it's better since the wrong name was used in the immediate aftermath Sunday night. An official was named who wasn't even at the game.
Wrong name, it's wrong just, address.
We'll just refer to them as you see them on the video. You're saying that both of them should be, that Goodell should release a statement saying they've both been fired. I want to know what was said by number 60 to the black official when he was chiding him ostensibly. And of course, we didn't hear it, but
yeah, it looked like the black ref wanted to throw a flag. And
to point up something about the play and was completely shut down by number 60.
And again, pass interference was not the only penalty with a minute and 46 seconds to go in the NFC Championship game. There were three penalties on that one play: pass interference, helmet to helmet contact, and hitting a defenseless player.
Yes.
Three penalties. They could have picked one.
Listener Lindsay sends an email and says that apparently Fletcher Mackel has posted on his Twitter account a different angle of this. And Lindsay, we haven't had a chance to look at that yet, but we will.
Fletcher Mackel over there at WDSU Channel 6, part of the amazing Mackel triplets. I know people think there's only two Mackels, the Mackel twins. You got Fletcher, who does sports, and you got the investigative reporter, Travers Mackel. But from my sources tell me that there's a Mackel triplet, but he's not, I don't want to say he's slow, but he's not quite the other two, and they keep him upstairs. He's in an attic in their mid-city home. I think his name is Conrad Mackel. So you've got the Mackel triplets. But,
why do you know so much about this?
I've been around for a few years now, Rooster, and I know those Mackels. Hmm. So the head of the officiating is going to lose his job over this. The head of NFL
Maybe.
Officiating.
We don't know what's
According
gonna
to Peter King, and that guy knows what he's talking about. When it comes to sports writers, he's Mr. NFL. Yeah, people are going to have to pay. Somebody has to pay for this egregious error. This the biggest blown call, the biggest non-call in NFL playoff history. Somebody has to pay. And not just the Saints and the Saints fans. And I mentioned earlier this morning, in case you're just joining us, it's been 3 days now. We've heard nothing from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Of course we haven't, because any big issue that's happened to the NFL in the past few years, he's handled it wrong. Again, whether it's Deflategate with Tom Brady, whether it's the players taking a knee for the national anthem, whether it's he's handled both of those wrong. And he had players beating their wives and their girlfriends. He's handled all of that wrong.
A bit of an addendum here to this morning's breaking news. This comes courtesy of Pro Football Talk, which is under the NBCSports.com umbrella. Pursuant to Saints cornerback P.J. Williams, we are reminded that in 2014, Williams, then a starting cornerback at Florida State, drove his car into the path of an oncoming vehicle, totaling both cars, and fled the scene. He was driving with a suspended license at that time, but was given only two traffic tickets by Tallahassee police rather than a more serious criminal charge, leading to accusations at the time that the local police were favoring football stars.
Further, he covers people better than he drives.
In 2015, Williams, then a draft prospect, was arrested for driving under the influence in Tallahassee. Local authorities there later dropped that charge, even though Williams admitted he had, quote, had a few drinks, end of quote.
Well, it's because he played for Florida State, and the football was more important than drinking and driving at Florida State. Jameis Winston raped a woman when he was at Florida State, and they threw that day down. Hey, wait, is he going to play this week? We got to win. So in Tallahassee, the football is most important than drinking and driving or raping women. That we've seen that. That's a fact in Tallahassee. So P.J. Williams has a history when it comes to bad driving. Reckless driving, drunk driving.
And again, this morning's incident is alleged.
Not a good incident for a guy who's now a free agent. A guy who had a pretty good year, and whether the Saints were going to bring him back or some other team was going to sign him, you get an interception in the NFC Championship game. His most famous interception was earlier this year when he picked off Kirk Cousins, and it was a pick six. And he took it all the way to the house to seal a Saints victory. Boy, oh boy. Talk about making a stupid mistake, P.J. Williams. But the other breaking news is the head of officials, from what we understand of the NFL, is going to lose his job over what happened.
Well,
you should.
Wouldn't call that breaking news. Peter King actually reported that earlier in the week.
But, well, somebody needs to pay, Brewster.
Yeah.
So, again, if you or I messed up on our job, like those two officials messed up at their jobs, we wouldn't have jobs. They shouldn't have jobs either. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. I saw this story, and if you think you're having a bad few days after what happened with the New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship game, check this story out. Florida woman shot after performing sexual acts for Pringles and $5. So if you think your life is bad, could you imagine being in this poor woman's situation where her life now has come down to, well, I got to perform sexual acts and what I'm going to get for it?
Now this is
a can of Pringles and $5.
Well, this is not the same woman who was riding around in the grocery store, one of the Walmart, one of the battery buggies, drinking wine out of a Pringles canister, huh?
Different woman.
Wow.
Different Pringles can. I believe it's a different Pringles flavor.
Hmm.
This story's out of Jacksonville, Florida. A shooting at a gas station left a woman in the hospital Monday night. She had a gunshot wound to her shoulder. The woman told deputies she agreed to perform a sexual act with a man in exchange for Pringles potato chips and $5. When the deed was done, he asked for his $5 back and shot the woman.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
At least he let her keep the Pringles. But could you imagine that? So she does the act, and I guess he wanted his money back. He fled the scene.
He didn't realize that he had forgotten his bus fare and needed the $5 back.
He fled the scene, and investigators did not get his description, although they were able to follow some Pringles potato chips crumbs out the parking lot, but then they lost him after that. So, again, as bad as you feel this morning, there are always people who have it worse, and God help this woman who's hanging around a gas station in Jacksonville, Florida, turning tricks for $5 and Pringles potato chips. Now, they are very delicious. They're very, very tasty.
I love the bold pizza flavor myself.
So hundreds of IRS workers now, because of this partial government shutdown, are skipping work. And are IRS workers non-essential government employees? Did you see this? Hundreds of Internal Revenue Service employees have received permission to skip work during this partial government shutdown due to financial hardship. And union leaders say, or they said yesterday, they expect that number to surge as part of a coordinated protest that could hamper the government's ability to process taxpayer refunds on time. Oh, yeah, it's going to affect them giving us our refunds back. But I guarantee you the ones that are working and collecting the money that we owe them, they're getting getting paid. They're the essential ones. The non-essential ones are the ones who work in the Department of Refund. Isn't it funny how that works? This sucks. And by the way, this partial government shutdown is going to be over pretty soon. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride and more fallout from Sunday's Saints disaster here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there.
What? Zeppelin.
So we mentioned earlier this morning how the New Orleans City Council will file a formal resolution calling for tighter play review and conflict of interest rules in the National Football League. I think that's it's kind of stupid. I mean, here's the New Orleans City Council. They counsel in a city where people get shot every day. We have crumbling infrastructure. We have a water board that is so dysfunctional that members of the sewage and water board should be forced to live in a sewer. Yet this is what the New Orleans City Council is worrying about. And
we have potholes that swallow vehicles up to the windshield.
Yeah, look, and I know New Orleans City Council, their hearts are in the right place. They wanted the Saints to win. This is good optics. This is some feel-good stuff. But could you get back to the stuff that you're really supposed to deal with? And those are the things that I just mentioned. And I could also clean up the blighted properties all over the city. I mean, I could give you 50 more other things that you should be doing instead of getting involved with the NFL. But you know who's leading this? My favorite city council person, even though I don't agree with her politically, she's just really good looking. Helena Moreno. Oh, excuse me. I don't want to sound like a gringo. Helena Moreno. She's the vice president of the New Orleans City Council, Helena Moreno, and she's the one who's spearheading this. And I would just tell Helena Moreno, let's keep our priorities in line, please. We finish our show every day with our segment that we call.
See, just like Lori Partridge in the Partridge Family.
She's a very attractive woman. She went on to be on L.A. Law when she got older, when Lori Partridge grew up and became of age.
Well, yes, she did.
Well, that's just about going to do it for the show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.